Hi there, folks. My name is Paul. Hello. Welcome. Welcome back, perhaps. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me for this, now the third video in our new series looking at the writings of Luke. So we're starting with the Gospel of Luke, and then we're going to be moving on to the Acts of the Apostles. And today we are in Luke chapter 1 still, looking at verses 26 through to 38. I have a title in my Bible. It says Christ's Birth Announced to Mary. And you may remember the previous video, John the Baptist's birth announced to his father, Zechariah. Both, interesting enough, by the angel, Gabriel. So let's dig into it. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through to 38. In fact, I might even ask if I can, if you're not familiar with this section of scripture, please, just for time's sake, press pause for me now, read through it, and then come back. Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. So here we see, verse 26, now in the sixth month, this is 6 months since Elizabeth fell pregnant with John the Baptist, because it's a continuation of the previous story. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee, this is north of Jerusalem, named Nazareth. Now Nazareth was an interesting place, not a place of, can I say, good reputation. It was just known for, I don't know what it was known for, but not good. In fact, I think it was Nathanael, one of Jesus' disciples, when he heard of Jesus of Nazareth, which was how they would address, no so much not a last name, he said, Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Such was its reputation. But Gabriel has been sent here, says to a virgin, which is a young woman, not of course being with a man, but betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. He was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So these are familiar names for most of us, Joseph and Mary. And we see it often, you know, Christmas time, the nativity scene, little baby Jesus, and then there's Mary and Joseph, and then there's, you know, the three wise men and the shepherds and some lambs and some sheep. And I don't know, here in Australia, we chuck in a couple of kangaroos and a koala as well. Something like that. Familiar with the names, but not familiar with some of that terminology. When was the last time you used betrothed in a conversation, or heard someone else do it? I don't think I ever have outside of scripture. Let me just quickly explain. Engaged, betrothed, and married. Three different states, starts, different positions within a relationship. Different to now. We go engaged, married. Not so much first century Judea. What would happen is a young couple could become engaged. I mean, anywhere between the ages of, I don't know, 12 to 16, for example. The parents have gone, yes, yes, you're a good family, of good repute, nice young man, nice young woman. Let's, you know, they like each other, they get along. Let's see them together. It's arranged this. They are now engaged. And this period would, in a sense, you know, put on hold one or the other for the other. But then, as they got older, they would move from engaged to betrothed. Now, betrothed is a very, very special item. We don't have this anymore. Betrothed is fully set apart. And it's, in a sense, a fully binding, a legal agreement, a covenant, if you would, for marriage, but not consummated physically. So it's marriage, but not consummated. And this promising of the other. We see, I think it's actually in Matthew 25, perhaps reading for another time, that when Joseph, whose story here actually isn't in Luke, but when he heard that his betrothed, his virgin bride-to-be, was pregnant, you can imagine, he had all legal right to issue a certificate of divorce. But instead, Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, appeared to him in a dream and said, no, Joseph, no, this son is to be the Messiah, the Son of the Most High. Oh, no. And so, of course, he was then honorable towards God and his bride-to-be. But what would happen is this period of betrothal, the husband-to-be would go back to his father's house and build an add-on, so to speak, a place for them to live. And then, you know, up to about a year maybe this would take. And then when he was ready, he would come back and he would find his bride and the wedding feast would begin. And the way that it would happen was beautiful and unique. And as the bride knew, oh, he's coming back soon, he's coming back soon. She might sometimes, you know, be waiting at night, perhaps even in her wedding gown with a lamp full of oil, ready and waiting. And she would hear off in the distance, the trumpet, I can hear the trumpet, as her bridegroom then came to be with his bride. And the wedding feast would begin, such as it was in this time, in this place. And I mention that because there is quite a bit in Scripture that speaks to this. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 5, referred to it as being a great mystery concerning Christ and the church. We, the Bible says, are Christ's bride, and he is the bridegroom. I give that to you as perhaps just food for thought for future reading. I could do a whole sermon just on that one thing alone. But such are the beauties and the intricacies of Holy Scripture. But let's continue on, verse 28. Having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." We don't know much of Mary before this time, but I would agree, blessed, absolutely. She was obviously, most clearly, a beautiful young woman of God and found favor with God in that regard. On that also, let me just say that there's nothing in Scripture that says that she should be highly venerated above others. No, as Jesus grew into his ministry, she became, as we are, followers of Christ, disciples of Christ, the Messiah, just as we are to be also. And it says in verse 29 that when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled, that he's saying. And consider what manner of greeting this was. This is weird. What have I done? But the angel said to her, as they always do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now this is the English version of the Hebrew word Yeshua, which was the shortened word of Yehoshua, the whole word, meaning the Lord is salvation. Also, as we see in the Old Testament, Yahweh saves. And Jesus, you know, being that sort of Greek now English version of the Hebrew Yeshua. He will be great, verse 32. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. This was Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel way back in Genesis. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And we see this, the throne of his father, David. This is King David, multiple scriptures that speak about prophecy and of the line of the house of David and the Messiah. Just as there were also for Jesus' birthplace, Bethlehem, which we'll come to. And we also see in Scripture other places that both Mary and also Joseph here were natural, in the natural, descendants of King David through two different sons. And I can imagine it was probably the dream of every young woman in this time in Hebrew culture that their son, if they called him Jesus, Yeshua, the Lord saves, the Lord is salvation, that they would hope, maybe, that God would use their son. And we see in Scripture, there's a few different people called Jesus. But Jesus of Nazareth, oh boy. Mary said to the angel, verse 34, "How can this be? I've not known a man." Now, at first glance, this might seem, is this doubt like Zechariah? Is there punishment coming? No, this is not doubt. This is really just asking about the mechanics. But how will this work? I don't know a man. And the angel answered and said to her, verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for who was once called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." I love this next verse. This is her response. Then Mary said, verse 38, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. I like this. It shows us what we could be when the Lord calls on us, the servant of the Lord. "Lord, let it be according to your word." Let's leave it there. We'll pick up next time. Mary's going to go and visit Elizabeth. And Mary has this beautiful song. We'll get into that in the next video. God bless. Bye-bye.